T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back a little after four. We welcome in Bill Simmons. Had a little football with him. I don't think Bill's been on all fall. I can't remember. I was trying to think if he was. I don't think so. What's going on, Bill?
I don't know. I'm not on your list anymore, apparently. It's fine. I'm available.
I asked you a couple of times, and you never got back to me. I texted
you. Let's tell America what really happened. The Red Sox beat the Yankees and won the World Series.
No, that's when we talked. I gave you a chance after that to come on and crow. I already
and
did
that. Was
that.
It. No, you're licking your wounds.
Yes, I already did that. All right, let's get to the games. Chiefs and Colts. Go ahead, start there.
Well, before we get to that, I just wanted to congratulate the Yankees on the 2019 rebuilding plan. I think
it's
smart.
They haven't really done much, to be honest with you. I know everyone waited for them.
Smart.
You know, they actually have been smart, and they've been patient, which I didn't think they would be. I mean, I thought they'd run out and do something crazy. But I haven't loved some of the design. But you know what? They have enough to be dangerous, definitely. They'll be in the mix. They'll definitely.
I think it's smart. They're throwing away 2019. The Red Sox are just too good. And why mess with that? Just wait until the Red Sox
I would have taken Eovaldi, though, if I were the Yankees. That's one thing I would have done, is taken Eovaldi.
I'm glad you didn't.
I know. He's unbelievable. He is unbelievable. All right, let's get to the games here. Rams and let's start with the – we'll do them in time order. Chiefs and
yes.
Colts. Chiefs and Colts, are you on the Colts like 99.9% of America?
Well, I'm a little different. I've been on the Colts since like October. They've been my favorite team to kind of bet against. I actually had them at 20-1 to win the AFC South, and they're 2-5. I just like them because they can move the ball and they have good quarterback and they can block. So last week I was surprised. I thought they were the best bet last week. It turned out to be the only bet that I actually won. But I look at this one and it just feels like a 3-point line to me. And I'm getting 2 extra points with the Colts. Like, they get first downs. The Chiefs are historically bad at giving up first downs. They gave up 419 this year. The Colts, the last 3 months, you go by any advanced metric, they're playing pretty much as well as the Chiefs. And then defensively, the Chiefs have the 2 good pass rushers, but the Colts have an awesome offensive line. And then here's the thing, Mike. KC has a lot of baggage.
Oh, insane.
They have a lot of skeletons.
Insane their amount. Andy Reid and he, the Chiefs married the coach who has a ton of baggage too. So together they have so much baggage, it's almost scary.
It's double baggage.
It is.
And they haven't won a playoff game at home since 94. They're like 0-6. Andy Reid has his own playoff thing. Luck's gone in there and won a crazy game against them.
Yeah, 28 and, points down. Yeah.
So you have, like, normally I'd be worried about the Dome team in Arrowhead, but I do feel like if the Colts keep it close, I think that crowd's going to get really nervous. And there's just a lot of skeletons there. Now, this has been the decade where skeletons have been excised left and right. But I like if the Colts, if it's close, I feel like it's a 3-point game, and I really feel like they can win.
I'll tell you, I can't believe how when I looked at the roster – And I am an unavowed, you know, Luck guy. I've been since he came in the league, before he came in the league. I mean, he's been my guy all along. And I actually, in July, they were telling me, oh, we don't even know if he's going to start, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I'm looking at that roster saying, my God, they can't win 7 games this year. If they do, I'll be thrilled. I'll be overjoyed. They open 1-5. I say, okay, that's an over under. That's, you know, in the bank, and they wind up running the table after that.
Yeah.
And I was thrilled that they won all the games, but I have to tell you, I was stunned. And they have retreaded guys, and also Nelson. Rarely does a guy turn out to be as good as everyone projected him to be. He turned out to be better. And then Ebron, after a nothing career, you know, is a guy who catches a million touchdown passes this year. And Leonard and Nelson and everything has worked right. And they have been unbelievable. And, you know, I think they are playing probably right now as well as anybody in the playoffs. I mean, they're playing unbelievably good football. Somebody called them today the best six seed in history of the sport. They might be that good. I mean, they are playing great. I wouldn't be... I'm actually going to be a little surprised if the Chiefs beat them.
Me too. And you didn't mention their rookie running back.
Yeah, who, he's playing great. Yeah, but the offensive line has been a holy force. I mean, it's been unbelievable. Yeah. It really has. Nelson has been as valuable. He actually has been one of the biggest and most important players in the whole sport this year. That's how much he has transformed that line. He has made it a nasty, tough, physical line. He really has.
And great trade.
We agree. We agree. I mean, the Colts, everyone loves them. And this is one time I think everybody's right. I really do. All right, the second game. Good.
You know, I hate being on the side where the public
is. So do I.
In this case, I actually think the line should be 2 points lower. So somebody said, I agree.
When I made the line, I thought it was going to be three. I agree with you. I always make the lines when the matchup happens, and I thought the line was going to be three. I'm surprised. It's actually in some places five and a half.
Yeah.
So I'm actually surprised. I agree with you. And like I said, the whole world's on one side in this game. I mean, the whole world. So we know that. But this time I happen to agree with them. The night game, we know the Cowboys are going to have a million fans in the building. I mean, probably half the building. We know that. The Rams haven't been as good since they lost Cooper Kupp. Gurley's been banged up. They lost they won a lot of games, but they lost a little of their mojo. Here come the Cowboys off a big win. If this game was in Dallas, I think my gut would say Dallas. My gut says Rams, and I don't like the Rams. I don't root for the Rams. I don't like the Rams, but I think the Rams are going to win the game.
I feel like it's almost a stay away, because I could see Goff being terrible.
So
Dallas
can see that
from seven is really good.
I agree with that.
You pointed out it's going to be half Cowboys fans, and we've seen this over and over again with the LA teams. It's half, but it's a really loud half. You're getting like fans that really give a crap about the fact that they went to the game and they get to cheer the Cowboys.
Yes.
So it's always like a weird dynamic for those games. It's a Saturday night. The Saturday night football games are always weird in the playoffs. And then the fact that Gurley's not healthy. I'm with you. I think they missed Kupp. I don't think their defense is that great. And I just don't trust Goff. I thought this line should have been like 4 or 4.5. And what's interesting is, you know, they dominated the Seattle game last week. Now, Seattle's coaching staff, I thought, really helped. But the reality was that was not a two-point game.
No,
that was
a
game
they
could have won
team.
By 17, 20. They were just way better. And the fact that Seattle was lingering around late and it ended up being a two-point,
and got a great cover.
Miracle cover. But I think that screwed up the line. I feel like the line for this should be at least six. Seven seems high. And I don't know. I just think
if the score is 23-7, are you convinced 100% the Rams won?
No.
Okay.
No, because I think Dallas, I like their front seven. I think they can move the ball, and I think they can block. The one thing with me I always look for on the road is, can you block? You know, and I think the Chiefs D, the previous game, if it was the right kind of team, I think they could blow somebody out in round two.
I don't trust either quarterback, but now I'm trying to trust. Now, here's the one difference in this game is that we're going to find out right now if all the buzz and all the noise and all the everything about this coach, let's see if he makes a difference in this game tomorrow in terms of game plan, in terms of preparation. Because we know, let's be honest, Garrett's been getting killed forever. About the way he runs the team, everything else, everything they do. Now here's a coach who has gotten an insane amount of credit. He's become almost the model for the new coach that everyone looks to try and find. They try to find him. Now let's see if he makes a difference in this game. If his team, I've seen his team at times look very prepared. I saw that early this season. I said, boy, they're crisp. They're crisp in everything they do. but I've seen them fall off lately. And Gurley, I heard this week, was very good. I heard he was very strong, very positive. So I heard good things about him. That's a positive. And I think the Cowboys have to get a huge game out of Elliott to win the game. I don't think they have to get a huge game out of Gurley. I think they have to get a huge game out of Elliott, because I don't trust if it's third and long, Prescott's going to have a long day.
Yeah, I agree with that. Prescott, it's weird. So you'll watch him in certain games, and you're like, oh, Prescott, he's good. Oh, that guy's coming along. And then you see him in other games, like, wow, that guy. Jesus, he's not going to be their quarterback in 2 years. I don't know. I don't think either of these teams are Super Bowl teams. And there's a bet you can make right now where you could basically bet all the games so that it comes out to both L.A. teams will be hosting the title games. It's 36-1. So if you think it's going to be a double L.A. game a week from now, 36-1. The Chargers would have to win, obviously. The Eagles would have to beat the Saints. And the Colts would have to beat the Chiefs.
What would be what super? How much would America like this Super Bowl? Colts Cowboys.
Colts Cowboys. Do people like the Colts? I don't think people care about the Colts.
But I think the Colts by then, with luck, would have such a thing going, and I think that would have. I mean, you could put the Chiefs in there, the same thing. Putting the Cowboys in there would give it a lot of buzz.
Mahomes.
I actually think,
Rivers. I think Rivers matters to people.
I know this is going to be hard for you to take, but I actually think people are tired of seeing the Patriots. I think they're tired of them.
You think eight years ago? Yeah.
I just think they're just tired of – it's almost like they're on Geritol now and they're still there. I mean, it's like – and we'll get to them in a second, but I actually think there's a fatigue with them now. I actually think that. So I think that people want to see some new blood there, whether you see Mahomes or see Luck or see something like that. They want to see some new blood. But what's your pick in this game?
I have Dallas +7. Okay. And I agree on the Pats fatigue, but I think that's been the case since like 2012.
All right, let's get to the game. We know that Chargers have better players. I heard this week two things. One, I heard that the Pats were the healthiest they've been all year. And two, I heard they had a sensational week of practice. I mean, they were in pads midweek, and they were pounding, and someone told me they look great. I mean, I said, oh, great. That's what I want to hear. But they said now it could be just nonsense, but that was the buzz I heard this week. And Chargers got some sneaky injuries out of last week's game. I think the Chargers have more talent. I think the Pats look tired. We all know it. Now, I know where you're going on the game, but are you worried about this game or are you confident about this game?
What do you mean you know where I'm going? What if I took the Chargers +4? You'd be shocked?
Yes, stunned. Stunned. Yes. Stunned.
Listen, this is the worst Patriots team in probably since 2006.
Yeah,
and the 2006 team was better.
Yeah.
It's come full circle. They're favored by 4 somehow, but yet I don't feel like anybody thinks they can win the game. And everybody's looking for all these reasons why the Chargers are going to come in and win. And this is kind of the foundation of the Belichick-Brady era. You know, if you go back to like the 01 to 05 range, this was over and over again. We're finally going to be able to get rid of these guys. And then they would pull it out again. I think there's some things that line up to them. I like the fact that it's an early Sunday game with the West Coast team. The Pats have won their last 16 at home. I think that's relevant.
I think it's very relevant. And the weather's going to break their way, too.
It's be 20 degrees.
Yep.
And then if you actually really dig in and look at the Chargers offense the last, like, 5-6 weeks, it's just not that good.
Well, you got to take out the two Raven games, because the Ravens should have beat them even last Sunday. The Ravens owned them on defense. The Ravens matched up great against them. They couldn't move the ball on the Ravens either time. They never moved it. Last week they got the ball basically on the goal line and couldn't get it in the end zone against the Ravens. But the Ravens' D is much better than the Patriots' D. Much better.
Yeah, but I think the Pats have a really good secondary. I'm going to use the word really good.
I agree. I think it's the one thing for their team. I agree with you. And Chung is a tremendous player. I agree with you. I agree. Yes.
So the Chargers last week, Rivers threw 32 times, 160 yards. They ran the ball 33 times for 89 yards. They really didn't do anything.
No, Lamar Jackson, that was a good defense. That was a really good defense, though. It was a defense that owned them. Yeah.
It's West Coast team playing on the East Coast. to beat the Pats, this is why I was worried about playing Baltimore this week. I just think you can run the ball down the Pats' throat and control the clock and keep Brady off the field. I don't know if the Chargers have the kind of team to do that. And then you throw in the whole Belichick, Brady. The question for me is the big picture question. If the Pats lose this game, I think it's over. Like, I really do. And it was an unbelievable run. It was two decades. But if they can't even get out of round two with a bye, with a really healthy team, I don't know what the upside is going forward with the 42-year-old QB and the coach who's about to be 70 and
hey,
a bunch of drafts that haven't
worked out.
It has
to end somewhere.
It has to end. We saw it. Peyton Manning, he came back from the neck surgeries and started putting up yards again. And at some point, we were like, wow, he's just going to keep doing this forever. And then he showed up one year and it was gone.
It has to end. Okay.
It has to end. And it usually ends badly. So my fear
and,
for this
and here's
is
the thing I worry about tomorrow is that the guy who ends it is Bosa, okay? Is somebody like that who is on top of Brady five times in the game. You know, one of those situations. Their pass rush is scary. And they're going to get the big nose tackle back, and he's good.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of pass rushes, and they're going to come up that A-gap. And listen, we know the Pats will be brilliantly coached, and they'll do everything they can do, but they might not have enough to do it. And they don't have any way to scare them with their offense. They don't have any. Gronkowski's a shadow of what he was,
and he hasn't
responded mentally since they tried to trade him. And the bottom line is they don't have a deep threat. And the Pats know. I mean, the Chargers know it. They know they don't have a deep threat. And that's the bottom line. The only thing question I have is, Belichick was in the room to take away one thing. I wonder. I was having this argument with someone yesterday, off the air, about what you would take away from the Chargers. What would you take away?
This is why it's a really good matchup for the Pats, because Gilmore has been the best player in the defense. I think the Chargers have the best three defensive players in the game, and Gilmore is probably fourth. But I think he can take out Keenan Allen. And I don't think they're going to be able to really run the ball. I think they'll run the ball. I don't think it'll be like a dominant running performance, which means that Rivers has to find the other guys. And Mike Williams has been pretty good lately. I think they can slow him down. I don't think the Chargers get – you know, maybe they're in the 17 to 24 range. And for me, it's a kitchen sink game for the Pats. You're right. They don't have a deep threat. They really miss Amendola. They don't have that second guy on third and eight that it's like, well, I know Edelman might get open. Who's my second guy that I know is going to get open on this play? They don't have that guy anymore.
Nope.
Michelle's been a disappointment as a pass receiver.
Right.
They have this running back by committee where all of them are good at one thing but not two things. And that's my fear. It's like on third and eight with those rushers coming at Brady, what does he do? Where does he go? Who's his one guy that he knows he has? Because it's really not Gronk anymore. As you said, he's been a shell of himself.
No,
so.
He's not the same. They've taken him away. And listen, they have a real pass rush. And you can see whether any one of their guys, I can see you. We sitting there saying, hey, wow, the Pats can't block these guys. And
yeah, Brady's under siege.
Right, under siege. And, you know, whether it's 54 or 98 or 99, I can see those guys all over them and saying, wow. And I mean, the guy I see in my game when I watch it is 54. I say, he's just going to be a handful. I know Bosa's good, but I see him more on the edge. I see 54 more inside, and I say, this could be a problem, a major problem. And I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be a field goal game. I agree with you. I think it's going to be very tight. And the fascinating thing, and anyone who has any idea or feel for sports should understand this, you have to watch this because you might be seeing the end of something that has been a part of our consciousness forever. This could be the beginning of the end. This could be the beginning of the end.
No, it's not the beginning of the end. This would be the end.
Yeah, I don't think.
I think that's in play. But it reminds me, the game right before the Pats made the second Super Bowl against the Giants, they beat the Ravens, I think, like 17-14.
Yeah, and they shouldn't have.
Like that.
They missed a kick, yeah.
They missed a kick, but the play before.
They're out of bounds,
I think it was Lee Evans.
Yep.
He caught the touchdown, and Sterling Moore stripped him, and then they had a missing field goal, and it was one of those, wow, we stole one.
Yep.
Like I'm just saying that this is a sad thing to hold on to, but as a Pats fan, it's happened so many times. It's really hard to think that when they have to pull something out, even though the odds are stacked against them, that they're not going to be able to do it. I almost have to see it to believe that.
Listen, what I said today was, you don't have to kill them once; you got to kill them twice. I mean, you have.
Yeah.
It's that way. I mean, the numbers are staggering. 8-0 since 2012 in that building in the playoffs. 7-0 against Rivers. I mean, the numbers are staggering.
I'm taking the charge.
Oh, no question. I'm taking the Chargers plus the four. You're taking the Pats minus the four. We know that. I mean, you can't. You have no choice. You have to.
I know I have no choice. I think that line goes to 3.5 before.
You might be right. All right, let's get to the last game. Do you believe in the? Here's what I think of this game in a nutshell, and you tell me what you think. I think that the question you have to ask is this: can the Eagles be standing with 5 minutes left and then go steal the game? Like they were against the Bears. The Bears let them hang around. Will the Saints let them hang around? The old adage at the racetrack is, if you're not there for the wedding, don't be there for the funeral. I wasn't there for the wedding. I thought the Bears were going to beat them. I think the Bears should have beat them. They didn't. Okay? And they had the magic again. Forget the field goal. I'm talking about the drive. The two-point conversion to the drive. Forget the ball on the four. I'm talking about when the Bears score, they should go up seven. They go up seven, get a defensive stand, and get off the field, and good night. They didn't do that, okay? And that should have been the end of it. The bottom line is they left the Eagles around. Do you think this team leaves the Eagles hanging around, or they put them away?
No. No, and you're right. I was going nuts. I had the Bears, too. I had them in a parlay. I just need them to win. They
threw that
game.
Oh, that's brutal.
It's brutal.
I had the Bears in a regular bet, so I had already lost. You had them and lost on the kick. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was brutal. I've never lost money on an upright crossbar combo before.
Oh, man.
But it was worse than that. I mean, you know, not calling timeout when it was at 150 and just letting 40 seconds run off and all the dumb things they did.
Please.
I thought
not having enough guys on the field to cover the last play to begin with.
I know. And then not picking on that Eagles cornerback until the fourth quarter. Trubisky was useless for three quarters.
Hey, one scout said to me, Mike, the Bears should have been up 20 in the third quarter. I said, I know that. Yeah.
The whole reason I took the Bears last week was I didn't think the Eagles would be able to get to 20 points. They didn't. They were at 10 points heading into the last drive.
That's a good call.
I think that the Saints defense isn't as good as the Bears defense. The frustrating thing with the Bears is like they had it. They're up five. They're home. It's a Sunday. Hey, that's it. The game's over. Send it in. Send it to FedEx. You're done.
Absolutely.
And their
defense could they? How
score.
Could they?
Embarrassing.
Bears got the ball back and did nothing with it. They could have kept the ball and then run and played the 4 minute game and got the game and walked off, take a knee. They couldn't do that. They punted it back and then their vaunted defense couldn't keep them out of the end zone. What a terrible! Forget the kick. What a terrible loss for the Bears. Let me just say this to the folks listening, and you're listening to Bill Simmons, of course. The presser, and you don't want to miss this, Bill, wherever you are. Monday at 2, Adam Gaze will meet the media 2 o'clock on Monday, so you don't want to miss that thriller. Adam Gaze will meet the media as the new coach of the Jets Monday at 2 o'clock. So you're with me. You're on the Saints in this one.
I am. I think this is our one chance for a blowout. And it's funny because we've seen this happen in sometimes with sports where there becomes some swagger with the underdog.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm more
afraid
of the
pixie
nobody.
Dust. Pixie dust is what it is.
And there's a nickname for Nick Foles that we can't say on the air.
Yes.
I can say
it
on my podcast, not on the air. There's a whole bunch of things.
Right.
God's in their favor. Nick Foles is a big God guy.
Right.
But now the Eagles fans are really confident. And yet this line is 8, and the Saints have been the best team in the league, and they're going to have the 3 best offensive players in the game.
They're killers, and they're stone killers to end the game early. That's their game. They're 7 looking for 17 in the first quarter.
And the Eagles, they had that Maddox, who Trubisky started picking on in the fourth quarter.
It took him long enough.
He's going to be picking on him in the first quarter.
I couldn't believe that they left that secondary alone in that game. I said the secondary would cost them the game, and it didn't. Trubisky did a terrible job. He really did. He had open receivers everywhere. And watch this. The Saints, the one thing they have not had all year is a deep threat. And he went out and got Ted Ginn Jr. just to run the deep patterns and just he'll catch two out of three. He'll drop one wide open. He'll catch two out of three. If he catches two, those are 60-yard-plus plays, maybe for touchdowns. Ted Ginn will be a factor going deep. You can take that to the bank. He brought him in there to go deep.
Now, the funny thing would be is if the Cowboys beat the Rams and the Eagles are winning in the second half against the Saints, I think this is a new low for Giants fans. This is like really staring a Cowboys Eagles NFC title game.
Could you
right
imagine? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine if that division? Do you know the Giants scored the most points in that division this year? Can you imagine if those two tournament?
They might have won.
Can you imagine that those two teams, the two finalists, come from that division? It's almost hard to fathom. All right, before you go, little NBA. Here we go.
Yeah.
Celtics, have they regained their mojo?
No, they have not. I thought it happened 2 days ago, and it has not happened. And it's the classic too many guys issue where nobody's really totally happy with the minutes they're getting. There's been signs of life. I thought they looked really good.
Also, Tatum hasn't been what we thought he would be this year either.
No, he hasn't. He has not. He has flashes, but for the most part, did not take the leap. And, you know, year two is usually historically guys take big leaps, and he has not.
And I'm surprised by that. I have to admit, you know, everyone canonized him after the dunk over LeBron, and he has not made the transition.
I'm shocked. Hayward is once a week. He's good.
Yes.
Horford's been banged up all year. And, you know, it's funny. Kyrie has been awesome, and he's going to make the All-Star team and be a starter. But he's missing a superstar chromosome that is really frustrating sometimes. Like last night, they're in Miami. They're on national TV coming off a blowout against the Pacers. All indications are like they're going to be down 18 in the first half or in the third quarter. There's an NBA schedule games every once in a while. You just kind of know.
Right.
That's a game where like James Harden just has 28 in the first half. You know, or like LeBron is like, we're on TNT tonight. I got this, guys, for the first couple quarters, then I'm going to bring you in.
Right.
And that's the one thing he doesn't really do yet.
He does it at the end of the game sometimes, but he has not done it. No, he doesn't do it enough. I agree with you. See, I gave you credit because I figured with the Celtics struggling, I said you were behind the Butler trade because you figured out a way to kill the Sixers. I mean, so I figured because I knew the day it happened, I predicted that was the end of the Sixers. You sent them an atomic weapon that will blow up and detonate their team, and there it is. It is already. It didn't even take them 2 weeks for it to happen.
Yeah, it's like, remember 24 with Kiefer Sutherland? There was always the one spy at the at the headquarters.
We needed
Jimmy Butler in there to blow things up.
That's all you need.
I have no idea. I did Zach Lowe's podcast this week. We were talking about this. You could talk me into 10 teams with a chance to win the title this year because, you know, there's a couple teams that are like a trade away from being really, really interesting.
The Bucks are close.
The Bucks are close, but they're another team. Crunch time. Am I winning a title with Eric Bledsoe? Like, I don't feel like I am.
No, but I'll tell you this. That, you know what? Brogdon is a guy who is an unsung player. That's a guy who shoots 40, 50, and 90. That is a underrated player, that guy. Really underrated player.
And then, you know, Denver's
and a freak is good.
Team,
and
really.
A freak is really good. He is.
Freak's
he is,
amazing.
Yeah, he is good. He is really good.
Freak had him versus Harden on national TV 2 nights ago. Harden's in this crazy scoring binge, the likes of which really hasn't happened before. And, you know, Giannis was awesome, made the big play of the game. They're up 4. Somebody misses. He does one of his super alien rebound moves, and all of a sudden he's 9 feet over the rim and redirects it, and they win. It's really tough to beat somebody when they have the best player on the floor.
Not easy.
And he's the best player in the league. So, you know, they have to be taken seriously. I don't love their roster. But, you know, when you look at what's happened with Golden State, where it's just, you know, I'm old, you're old. We've seen this with basketball teams. You can kind of see
over.
The finish line's coming.
It's over.
And it just, you can see it.
I tweeted it a month ago, and you know how many people went nuts on me? Because I said, it's over for Golden State. Just realize it's over. It is over. It was over today. Cousins came to the team, and he hasn't even played yet. Cousins, it was over the day they got him, but now it's officially over for them. It's over.
I'm not willing to write them off yet, but I think this is the last dance with them. And let's be honest, the Knicks have a great chance at Kevin Durant. Like, this really might happen. I don't know if the
see,
Knicks fans...
You know that stuff better than me. Do you think there's actually a chance that Durant would go to the Knicks?
I think there is an excellent chance.
I'd love to
I
see
really
it.
Do.
They need a break
really
for a
do.
Change. They need a break. I mean,
I'll tell you this, though.
You know what I'm afraid of? Here's what I'm afraid
what?
Of. Okay? And I don't know their cap. Maybe you do. I'm figuring that someone like Cuban gets him to go play with Doncic, and that Doncic's going to be a great player, and he goes plays there, and those two could be scary for, you know, for a long time.
If he leaves San Francisco, it has to be for his own team.
Right.
There's no more. Like, he did the Russell thing.
But isn't that still – couldn't he still be his team because Doncic's so young? Couldn't it still be his team? Or is it already Doncic's team?
No, Luka is a phenomenon.
He's great. He's great.
He's the most important guy that's come in.
Hey, he's unbelievable. So I figure you put him and Durant together, you got a nasty team.
Well, listen, whatever. You might need to figure this out for your radio show. The Knicks fans need to get all the karma, every sort of.
See, they don't have any karma. That's the thing. Knicks never have any karma.
Family heirlooms, you know, some watch that your great grandfather had from World War One. It's all everybody's got to get together and really seriously put it towards Zion and getting Zion. Because if you put him in MSG, it's over. You don't even need Durant at that point. It would be the most fun.
How much fun would that be? See, the one thing with him is he's going to be a liability. But he's going to score like crazy. But on the other end, he's going to get.
Who does
he?
No,
he's 6'7". He couldn't guard anybody on a perimeter.
No.
So he's going to get killed on one end of the floor.
No,
I
disagree. I actually think he has Draymond potential defensively. I really do.
I'm telling you. I think offensively he's going to be unstoppable. He's going to be unstoppable offensively, but defensively he's going to have some trouble guarding bigger guys. He is.
I don't know. I've been really impressed by how hard he plays on defense.
Oh, I think he plays hard now, but it's a different league. You know that. The guys he's playing against are going to be a head bigger.
I get it. I don't think he could be your center, but
he can be your three or four, but the thing is, he's just going to have trouble matching up with the size. Now, he's going to kill somebody himself. He's going to be a nightmare that way. And, you know, he's going to get better and better offensively. He's a freak. He's the kind of freak like Barkley was a freak offensively. This guy's a freak offensively.
Yeah. I would even say, I'm going to switch sports. He reminds me almost like young Gronk crossed with Barkley, crossed with I don't know what else. But
I like that. But I just think of Barkley, because Barkley was a freak when he first came in. He's a freak.
He was.
You couldn't guard him. You couldn't guard him, and he got every rebound. You couldn't guard him.
And he was on a fast break, the most frightening guy who ever lived.
Yeah.
Zion is now up there.
This guy is
– yeah, I mean,
and he's a fun player. He's electric is what he is. He absolutely
the
is.
The other thing is – let me just give a little shout out to Kevin Knox. I really like him. I think he's good.
No, he's fine.
I think that's a keeper. So
no, he's fine. But is Durant is Porzingis a problem for Durant, or he's not good enough to be a problem?
I think that's Porzingis
that's okay.
and Durant together.
But isn't it Porzingis' team? Well, you say he wouldn't go with Doncic, but he'd come with Porzingis.
Yeah, Porzingis. It's like he's coming off an ACL.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah, that's not on the radar.
Listen, Porzingis is going to be a really good player, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is. Now, Doncic, I don't know if he's going to be as complete. He might not be as complete as Doncic. Doncic's going to be a tremendously complete player.
Well, Doncic is what you want offensively as we head into the 2020.
No question.
This guy
who
just creates for everybody.
Yeah, he's going to be a triple-double every night. He's going to be a triple-double every night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, every night. There's no question about it.
I'm telling you, organize the karma right now.
Who wins the championship right now?
I would take the field against the Warriors.
You would? Forget that.
I would.
Forget who wins the East.
I don't know. I don't think it's Philly. Toronto's probably the safest bet. I think Milwaukee's the wild card because of the trade deadline. And then the Celtics are the sleeper because if they ever figure out how to use all the talent they have, they're kind
one,
of the
one. Let me leave you with this, and we'll have you back on before the Super Bowl. And if you're in the Super Bowl, come do a day with me if you're coming to the Super Bowl, because I'm going to be down there. If you're going to come to Atlanta, what one thing has to happen for the Celtics to be good again?
A 2-for-1 or a 3-for-1 trade. Reducing fixing the minutes so that it's more of an eight-man rotation. I just think once you start getting 9, 10 guys and everybody wants to play, it gets a little dicier. And they really need Hayward to start looking like Hayward again is the other thing.
All right, thanks. Listen, we'll talk again. We'll chat again. Thanks for coming on, and good luck with your old men up in Boston this weekend.
I appreciate it. Have a good weekend, Mike.
See you later. Phil Simmons, back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.